This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing. This podcast is brought to you by Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And my good friend and colleague, Pete, at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. How are you today, Pete?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Good, good, good. Did you manage to get to bed at a reasonable time rather than listening and staying up and watching all of the US elections?
Yeah, I was lucky because I was in two minds, you know, and what I did was I sort of like got into bed, had it on the telly, watched it for a while, and it was obvious that no results were going to come in for hours and hours. And I ended up just sort of like snoozing with the telly on, and I think I heard some of it and missed other bits. And then when I sort of woke up at about, I don't know, seven or something, turned the telly on, and then we were quite a long way through it, you know, and this was just before Trump did his it's a fraud speech. And it was obviously, you know, incredibly close. So, yeah. But, you know, so I was sort of awake, which is nice.
Okie doke. I mean, the situation with it, as I see it, is that the likelihood is that it's going to take days, if not weeks, for a winner to be declared, depending on which sides are fighting the nearest sort of results. You know, the closer they are, the more dispute there's going to be regarding potentially, you know, the people that had postal votes, whether any of those have gone missing, whether or not any of those postal votes. I think there was something said about the highest number of postal votes, Pete, or people that voted prior to the polling stations opening, sort of.
Well, the highest one ever.
Highest ever, 110 million or something I heard in one caption. So there's a lot of, you know, postal votes to be counted, but also there's a risk that some people try to vote again, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Having changed their mind since they sent the postal vote. So that's going to cause a lot of debate and discussion. So, you know, the question will be, when will we actually find out who is the the president of the US for the next 4 years?
I think, as you say, we're minimum 2 or 3 days away, I would imagine. Minimum, you know, and I think it's not just the postal vote fraud thing. It's like, if you've got several states that are really close, the losing side is going to demand a recount, you know, it's going to be back to like Florida in 2000 when you had the hanging chads. And I can see that going on for flipping ages. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, go on.
What is clear is that even if Biden wins it, so you've got a Democrat president, it looks like you're still going to have a Republican Senate. So it really, realistically, just means 4 more years of gridlock.
That is you're spot on there, Pete. You know, it's going to be gridlock. There's going to be stalemate. They're not going to allow them to do anything. You know, they're going to try and impose their will on the situation. And, you know, unfortunately for the electorate, they're going to see more doom and gloom, unfortunately, for the next 4 years. And we've seen what's happened regarding the results so far. People are already on the streets kicking off, you know, against the other side and who's voting for who and what's the what. And, you know, in Washington, they boarded up most of the shops.
Yeah, that's right. And they sort of anticipate in trouble. I mean, from what I've seen, there hasn't been that much trouble yet, but I wonder if that's going to change tonight. Who knows?
It will certainly change by, I mean, give it to the weekend, Pete. I can see a lot of vitriol being kicked off, mate. You know, and lots of statements being said, which you'd be thinking, crikey, are these people running for president? You know, are these governments, are these people going to the largest country in the world in a sense of, you know, GDP and all the rest? It's going to be absolutely, you know.
Yeah, it sounds messy.
Where they're very worried about, you know, it imploding, really.
And obviously over here in the UK, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so this is like 4th of November, and we're going into lockdown. Is it today we go into lockdown? I don't know.
It's officially tomorrow, Pete. Yeah,
officially tomorrow. And then And then we're in until the
for a month or so, 4 weeks,
that's 4th
till
December.
December. I mean, it's interesting, Pete, because the UK lockdown or lockdown two or whatever you want to call it, we've been talking about the risks of this COVID thing for quite some time, and the fact that it was going to, if it's not addressed, it's going to then fall and continue on into flu season, and that's essentially what's happened. So the numbers are spiking because, people have been out and socializing here, there, and everywhere, and doing what they can during the summer. The schools have opened up again. The students are back from all over the globe, not just around in the UK, and they're all intermingling. Essentially, you're asking students to pay a fee, go to uni, and in the first month that they're back, not to socialize with each other, not to go to the pub and get hammered, which is what most students do, or some students do. When they're there in the first weeks enjoying themselves, and that was never going to be happen, Pete. You're never going to get them to stay put in their dorms.
And from their point of view, they're the lowest risk group anyway. So it's hard to see much incentive for them to ruin their university experience because of bigger things that are going on, so
They are
no surprise
they are
what's
the lower
happened.
group, Pete, but given what's going on now, and you speak to any doctors and specialists that actually aren't part of Sage and all the rest of it, they're talking about the numbers of young people, and I'm talking under 20 that are now, in hospital with this stuff is increasing rapidly.
Yeah, there does seem to be more of it. The other thing that's interesting is that I think there's a very different approach with the NHS now compared to what there was in the first lockdown. Because in the first lockdown, if you remember, they stopped doing everything else and they just focused on C19. What they're trying to do now is to do everything else and to do C19. And it's and they're a lot of hospitals around the country are hitting up against their limits because obviously the limits are a lot smaller when you're doing other stuff as well. So yeah, it's we're going to have a month of lockdown. Goodness knows what happens once we get into December, and then we've got January, February. I mean, are we going to have more? Obviously, we're slipping into the tiers, aren't we? The three level tier things once we come out of lockdown. But if you slip into tier three, then that's sort of like lockdown anyway. And if we're going to be doing this all through January, February, and whatever, it's going to be pretty unexciting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the interesting thing was, going on to markets, Pete, was, Boris was forced to actually ha declare this, last week. And then people, including myself, were thinking, oh my gosh, I wanted him to safeguard people's jobs in the sense of him and Rishi agreeing to the furlough. I've been speaking about that since August, really, in the hope that the furlough scheme would be extended to safeguard jobs and there wouldn't be a mass number of unemployment hitting our radar between now and December. So the furlough scheme has been extended at the last minute, which is a result, really, safeguard people's jobs for Christmas and so on and so forth.
Well,
But
it's okay if you're getting the furlough, but I think, we've talked about before, there's so many people falling through the cracks.
falling
And
through the cracks,
one of the
absolutely.
latest twists is that if you were laid off after the last furlough, before this new situation starts, then you're not going to get any money. So,
Absolutely.
it's just fraught with mess, really.
It
And
is. I mean,
there's so much talk about getting to like 1980s Thatcher levels of unemployment, which is pretty grim, really.
is. I'm hoping it won't come to that. I mean, the interesting thing for me was the fact that over the weekend, everyone was speculating that, I think we finished last week at what, in the mid 500. 5,570-ish sort of area, yeah. And you'd been stipulating for everyone to listen and take guard in a sense of preparing yourselves. I had the trap door at 6,000. You had it spot on at 5,771. And you said, look, if that goes, look out, look out. And then we went through it last week. We closed the week lower than 5,771. We were nearer to 5,557. Oh, or there or
Yeah,
thereabouts.
I think we actually hit 5,519, I think was the
Okey-dokey.
actual
So
low point.
what happened was after lockdown was declared by Boris for 4 weeks, everyone was speculating at the weekend, that's it. We're going down for another 500 points. We're going down
in
this,
the
that, and the other. We're
tank,
going to be,
yeah.
you know, we're lucky to hold on to 5,000. Yeah. And I suspect, Pete, although a lot of people haven't said on Twitter, I suspect that first thing on the bell on Friday on this week on the Monday morning at 8:01, five minutes past, a lot of people were selling into the market in the hope of getting out before the doors just went down to 5,000.
Yeah.
And we didn't go below 5,500. We didn't go below 5,550, I don't believe. And since then, with regards to the markets, people have gone, oh. And then we've had this flux because people have a realization that, as you've just touched on, that this lockdown might be slightly different in the sense of we're more prepared. Yeah, the hospital's doing things slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are being asked to continue to work if they can, regarding working from home. Yeah, and all of these measures have been put into place. So I'm not sure what's going to go on with the market. All I know is that we've gone from 5,550 odd, yeah, and now we're at 5,883 closing today. That's 300 points plus the
Oh,
uncertainty regarding the US elections. Well, I'm not sure what you make of that, Pete.
well, my sense is that what I tend to do with it is I, you know, there's always all the constant noise of the markets going, you know, the macro stuff and all the other shenanigans. I focus on what the charts are telling me, and as I see it now, we've been in a downtrend channel on the FTSE 100 for about, I don't know, say 3 months, yeah, where you can see a very defined channel. Now, at the on last Friday, when we got to like 5,519 and, you know, recovered to 5,570 or whatever it was, we were at the bottom of that channel. And what I see in this week, when we've had this massive bounce, is really a retracement within that channel. And now we're getting to the top of that channel, which is sort of 5,950, 6,000 is the top of the channel. And I think if we go above 6,000, that might be actually quite a positive sign. But I'm not sure we're going to manage that or not. I mean, today felt like a sort of blowout kind, you know, like a blowout top where everyone gets too enthusiastic. It seemed like that today. I mean, did you see AstraZeneca? Was like, well, obviously you hold the
Oh
thing. It was
yeah,
up like
I saw that,
6%.
mate. I mean, a little bit of that was about the vaccine potentially. We might have some more data on it before Christmas. Well, that'd be great news, Pete. But I'm not that. I'm almost like, really? They've moved this goalpost so many times, and I've already sat down and thought, you know what, March, April, that'd be great news. I'm not sure what data they're going to be providing us with before Christmas, and it almost feels like they're trying to put some stuff out there that's a positive when maybe we don't get it. So great that the market's helped it to move up a little bit higher, but I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, I don't trust Boris on any of these, you know, moonshot things and whatever he's been talking about. It just seems to, it's like you said, it's almost like here's a load of bad news. Oh, we better put something in to give you a little bit of hope. But the trouble is, those hopes were always dashed. You know, they've never delivered anything they've
It's
promised, like
always
test.
better in politics to give people hope, but not to give them too high an expectation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Lower
well,
the
that, yeah.
expectation and then exceed it. Don't over egg the pudding, as my mum used to say.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're doing. So you know, in terms of the FTSE 100, you know, I just think we're still in that downtrend, and until I say different, that's how I'm going to see it. The American markets are quite interesting because the one I've been fixated on is the Nasdaq Composite, because it looked like there was a real risk of a double top, like what you call like a Batman ears, yeah. Where it hits the same sort of level twice and then drops a lot. It looks like we're going to avoid that. So that's a real positive. But I'd be really surprised if the Nasdaq, I think it's 12,000 where we had the, or sort of 11,900 where we had the double peak. I think if it gets over that, I'd be really surprised by that. I suspect we're going to go into a sort of sideways range. And you can see it on the Dow. The Dow looks like it's going into a sideways range now. And the S&P, I think it's 3,400 is the peak on the S&P. I mean, if they go over these peaks, that's really bullish. I can't see it happening myself.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting over the next couple of weeks, Pete. I mean, a lot of people have called the top on the Nasdaq, and they've seen a lot of the FANG stocks roll over as such. And you know what? I suspect that if the markets do get bullish, we'll get another spike on the Nasdaq because everyone wants to buy tech as I do. But will it reach its previous highs in a very short term, pre-Christmas? That would be a push.
It's almost there now, isn't it? I mean,
Well,
the bounce today is incredible.
So, it's one of them things, Pete. You've got to be very mindful. I think this goes back to my thinking that it's a stock picker's market. You haven't got to get too caught up in well, personally, caught up too much in the trend. And if you see an opportunity, then buy it. You may not be getting it at the absolute bottom, but if you've got a sort of viewpoint that, this is a really good stock. And it's got cash on the books, or it's a safe, resilient stock that's going to do well in the next, not 3 months, but 3 years, then you can afford to buy a tranche today, buy a tranche in 3 months' time, in 6 months' time, or like some people are cleverly doing, pound cost averaging, just drip it in there, £300 a month or whatever it is for the next 3 years, and see what happens.
Yeah, no, I think it certainly makes sense to buy quality where you see it and buy value where you see it, and don't go all in too heavy if you don't feel confident enough to do that. It
Absolutely.
totally makes sense. And I like what you were saying about, being prepared. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons I like keeping an eye on the index charts is that it means I've got a pretty good idea what is the most likely outcome, the most likely path in coming weeks or so. So, it gives you a very good idea what's most likely to go on. And that way you tend not to be surprised, which makes it a lot easier, I think.
It's vitally important, Pete. I think, unfortunately, I've been caught out in the past where I'm in X, Y, and Z stocks, and I'm looking at what's going on with them, and I'm like, oh, they're doing well. The latest update was really good, and that was really good, and that was really good. And there's only that little sort of amber light over there, so I don't need to really worry about that. And in the meantime, the market goes wallop, and all of that positivity regarding that particular company goes completely out the window. And I'm looking at it historically in the past and going, well, why is my stock down 5, 10, 15, 20%? Mate, it's because the market's dropped 5%, 10%, and everything's getting thrown out with the dishwater. So by tracking what's going on in the FTSE All Share, the FTSE 100 or NASDAQ, you get a better feel as to what's going on with the general market, because when the general market is positive, your stock and your portfolio will do okay. But when it's not, it'll get dragged down with it as well.
It's an interesting point because I hear a lot of times that people talk about relative strength and stuff, and they sort of give the impression that certain stocks don't fall in the market. And I think they're right to the extent that some stocks don't fall as much. But I think generally speaking, when you get these really risk-off moves, everything gets hit. Very few things get away with it.
Agreed, mate. Agreed. And this is why we were speaking before, and I think the last two podcasts we've probably touched on it in a sense of, potentially with this new lockdown and potentially with regards to what's going on in the markets and going into decline. What other stocks have we looked at in the past, and what could do so in the future in a sense of lockdown winners, Pete? And we spoke about a few of them last time. So, it's very
Well,
important to be prepared as regarding the markets, and it can go either way, really. And I think there's going to be added volatility as well, Pete. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that.
that's an interesting point because I think one of the things at the moment is there's no volume. I look at some of these charts and look at the volume on them, and there's just nothing. So it's like you're getting, I mean, what you want to see when you come off of the bottom, like we have this week, you want to see big up days with a big spike in volume behind it, which really shows some conviction. But at the moment, we're getting big up days and the volume's less than it was the day before, so that doesn't really show much conviction. And when you've got low volume, you're going to get more volatility. You're going to get these bigger, more dramatic moves and more, changes intraday as well. I mean, last few days, everything's been going up. So the correlations are all the same, everything's going up. But as we get towards the end of that short-term move, you'll see the volatility spike again and stuff will be jumping around intraday and it'll all be putting in doji candles and stuff like that. We have a lot of that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I wanted to speak about, one of the stocks that has done reasonably well over the past month, Pete. And it's one that we were trying to mention a while back, but we got sidetracked. And that one, I think, is another one to look out for. Maybe less so this winter, because of what they're involved in. But do you know about Volution Group, Pete? Ticker symbol FAN.
Which one? Oh,
Volution, Voltion.
yeah, I know Volution,
Yeah. So they're the leading supplier of ventilation products to the residential and commercial construction markets.
so it's air conditioning as well, isn't it?
Air
And stuff.
conditioning as well. So they've done particularly well. They're up 20 odd percent in a very, very short space of time. And it's one of those sort of stocks where, as people are staying in more, and the construction industry has gone back to doing what it normally does, and allowing people to build buildings, as to coin the phrase, they seem to have done okay. So that, I think for those people that are looking for winners going forward, I think construction, Volution Group, windows, air cons, and so on and so forth could do okay. So I think that's one to keep an
There's
eye on.
a C19 angle on that one, because one of the things they talk about is this idea that people will be in a restaurant, in a small restaurant, all sat around a table, and they all catch COVID-19 or SARS, whatever it is. They all catch the virus because they're in this confined space. And the idea is, if you have better airflow, like you do on an aeroplane, you've got the airflow of air conditioning and stuff moving it, then that reduces the chance of you picking up C19. So I think there's an angle there, which plays into the zeitgeist.
Cool. I mean,
He's
another one. Sorry, go on, Pete.
on that FAN Volution. He's that bloke Malcolm Diamond, who used to be a Trifast. Is he involved with them? Got a feeling he is, and if he is, he's good news.
Well, he's good news because he delivers the Trifast people,
Oh,
definitely.
big time. And I might be wrong on that, so don't hold me on that, but I got a feeling he is involved in it. He might be the chairman or something.
Okie dokie. I'll have a quick.
Have a
Can't see his
butcher's.
name there, mate.
Right, we
Can't
need
see.
to talk about takeovers.
Yeah, go on. Go on then.
Well, you had a flipping good week, mate, the cheeky monkey. The HZD Horizon Discovery.
Yeah, well, Pete, I class it as lucky. It was one of those stocks that I met.
Sometimes you need the luck.
Sometimes you do luck. You can do all the research in the world, but you need a bit of luck. It's an interesting stock for me. Once again, AI, and this time it was around gene editing, and all the rest of it. So for me, it was one of them. They had a bid back in 2018 at 181 from Abcam, which is obviously quite a big company, and they're both in the Cambridge cluster or there or thereabouts. And Horizon said no to them 2 years ago, and they wanted more. They said they were undervalued, and since then they've ebbed and flowed. They've not necessarily made any money. They've generated revenue, but not profits as such. But I've been watching it for a little while, and I thought, oh crikey, it's down here at £1.10. It's down here at 1.20, and eventually in July, it was one of them stocks where I'd spoken about without speaking about. It was like a new holding. I declared it to timestamp it on Twitter to show the authenticity of what I'm trying to do as an experiment, with a view to sharing if there was major news on the stock, and if it didn't work out, I'd share the news that it didn't work out and I sold it at a loss. So I did my analysis of it, and the sum of parts for me and the progress they'd made since 2018 was, if they were there at 181 rejected, they made this progress, they sold something off, they bought something, I was saying, right, okay, now that it's at £2, £2.05 was my sum of parts analysis on it, right? So I bought it in on the 26th of June at £1 per share. Bargain. If Abcam come back and offer £1.85 or £2, it's there or thereabouts towards my sum of parts. So I was thinking, this time between now and this time next year, they'll come out with some more news. If they're lucky, they might even become profitable. So if Abcam's approach them again or somebody else, I'll get £2 a share, bargain. So when I say I'm buying £1 coins for 50p, that's what I'm talking about. I want to buy it at a discount. I don't want to buy it at a premium, Pete, right? So I bought it at a £1, waited, nothing happened, nothing happened. The price went lower, yeah? And I
Yeah,
thought, oh, crikey,
which you have to
no
do,
one
isn't
on
it?
Twitter was talking about HZD,
Yeah.
right? They were talking about other stocks related to AI and COVID and all the rest of it. So I had another nibble on the 15th of October at just over 91 and a half pence, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 2 and a half weeks ago. Monday, when everyone's expecting the markets to go wallop and go down 500 points, the market stayed there, right? So I'm looking at the market and what's going on. I'm thinking, what's going on here? There's nothing going on here. And then what I tend to do, this is another psychological thing I do, which people may not get. Whenever I start to look at the market, first thing I look at, right, is what's going on with the general market. I look at the FTSE All Share top 50 losers, right? And I'm looking in for any stock in my portfolio in there. And then I go,
Well, so you're looking for a nasty loser
I'm
first
looking
then.
for nasty losers and shocks, Pete.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I do. I'm not looking for winners, I'm looking for losers. And I'll go, oh, none of my stocks there. I can relax. I go to
Yeah.
AIM, do the same again. Top 50 all share AIM losers. Look at that. None of my stocks there. Relax. Go and have your breakfast, chill out, do your meditation, come back to the markets for half eight, 9 o'clock or whatever. Yeah?
Yeah.
That
Where do you
Monday, when I was.
look at those top 50 lists?
Where do I look?
Yeah, what software do you use?
I don't. I look on this Money's website, Pete. This is Money.
This is money. Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
because ADVFN app,
Do a
and I'm
similar
pretty
search
sure has
thing.
a
Yeah.
on their website
And I'm
similar.
pretty sure if you do the proper searches and the proper tweaks and but press the right buttons, you can find it on the Sharepad as well and ShareScope.
Oh, I'm sure you can, yeah.
Right. So on Monday morning, Pete, to cut a long story short, I eventually come back to the market. And I look at the winners, right?
Yeah.
And there's a few winners on the FTSE, and I'm looking at HZ, and then HZD is at the top. I'm going, what's going on there? Because I've not looked at the RNSs, Pete. I've gone chilled out, relaxed, and it's up 100 and odd percent. I'm going, what?
Whoa.
And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, oh. And the only disappointment was it wasn't Abcam, because if it was Abcam making the bid at 185. It
Yeah.
would have meant that it stayed within the UK. So it was a larger UK entity utilizing their technology and their patents. This is once again the US parent, PerkinElmer, via its UK subsidiary, buying a recommended all cash, which is a benefit, yeah, not part share.
Well, benefit, yeah.
Yeah, so all cash at 185.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I thought, still a bit short of what I wanted, but because of the uncertainty of the following day, which is the US election, yeah, on the Tuesday, I thought,
Ah.
and I managed to sell all of my shares at 187. Yeah, so that's over 100% return for something I bought in June and added to 2 weeks ago. And the benefit of that is I've got the certainty now of locking that in. Abcam or anybody else could come in for that technology because it's really top-notch technology. Yeah.
Yeah. They
So
do that CRISPR, don't they?
CRISPR, yeah, as
CRISPR,
well.
CRISPR
But
gene editing
the
stuff,
beauty
yeah.
of all this technology, Pete, is that I keep talking about longevity, aging, and personalization of medicines, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And if you can edit genes, you can do all manner of different things regarding pharmacology. So that's for me is why that tech was so important. And I'm surprised. I would be surprised actually if no one else comes in for it. And you know, with all these, oh, we recommended this price to our shareholders at 185. Somebody could easily come in and bid 190 or £2. So I don't know, but I just sold because of the U.S. elections and the uncertainty that might have on the markets, and because in my heart of hearts, I thought the markets would have capitulated on Monday as well, and they haven't. And we're on Wednesday, and we're going up. So
Yeah.
that's multifold reasons why I sold at 187.
So that's an interesting point because usually with takeover situations, because funnily enough, I'm in loads of them at the moment, which is sort of a really high class problem. I've got TCM, Telit, yeah, that received a bid this week. MCS, McCarthy and Stone, which had a takeover bid a couple of weeks ago. AA, which has been an ongoing situation. But with all those, I mean, basically, I'm just waiting for. I mean, the MCS is the best example. There's a fixed price sort of thing where it's going to be taken over at. But I'm just waiting to see if another bidder emerges. I mean, they probably won't. But I usually give them a few weeks, and if there's no news that a thing's going for it, that a new bidder's coming, then I'll just sell it in the market. But I usually give it a few weeks to give it a chance. And quite often you pick up somewhere as to whether there's other bidders in the background or whatever.
I think, Pete, I think with the McCarthy Stone and the Telit one, there's a possibility. I think any bid or escape route you get regarding AA, I'd snatch their hands off, mate.
Oh mate, yeah, with AA, I mean, God, I'd just be
But
happy to see
with
back of them.
Telit,
Yeah.
they've been here before, and they've had so much noise and grief regarding that stock. And you've had the patience of a saint holding on to that
Wow.
stock, mate. And I've long gone. I did well out of it, but I've long gone. But if a bid comes for that, I still think there's room for a share price far higher than where it is now,
Well, it's
given where they
interesting
were
because it
before.
only went up something like 8%. After the takeover news, which is nothing,
Yeah,
and I think it could be a hell of a lot
I
higher.
think you'd be a
So,
lot higher. But Pete,
yeah.
there's a trust issue with that company. I think people just don't believe anything they hear regarding it. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, I think to a large extent that's a historical problem now. I think they've had such a clear out of the people, and the balance sheet is, totally transformed with a load of cash and stuff. So, but it's typical, isn't it, that they finally get the mess sorted out and it gets taken over before I can see the value.
As is usual the case, and I think I've saw one of your tweets touching on, start again. They're generating additional revenue and suddenly getting that momentum regarding revenues and 5G and all the rest of it. And what happens? It gets snatched away. So you don't get the benefit of that. You get a premium to where it was, 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago. But what you want, and after having 4 years of patience with it, is 4 years of real growth where the
I
share
want a
price
minimum
doubles.
100%. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's so true. I mean, it is frustrating because the thing I liked about TCM and the reason I bought it in the first place was as a play on the Internet of
Internet
Things,
of
and
things, yeah.
obviously 5G is very much part of that. And it is just typical, just as 5G is starting to happen and it's like moving to TCM's sweet spot, boom, someone comes in and takes it away from you. So,
As is always the case,
but
Pete, as is always the case.
it's interesting that they've already had a bid from somebody else, and there's another bidder as well. So actually, there is a bit of interest in them. So maybe there's a chance of a bidding war, and I might get a bit more out of them. So that would be sweet.
The sweet spot of all these things with takeovers, Pete, is a bidding war benefits the investor, the shareholder, because what happens then is that it's not in the best interest of the CEO and the CFO, which sometimes when you get these people that are in bed with each other, I use the term loosely, folks, is that they sort of deal out themselves. There's no competition. There's no white knight coming saying, oh, actually, we'll pay £2.15 rather than £2.07 or £2. Then you're sitting there going, happy days, keep fighting you guys, because the price is going to keep going up because somebody really, really wants it. I'm in a situation with another stock, TalkTalk, Pete, and it looks like, they're going to just
Is
sort
that
that out
big?
by themselves, and it's way below the sum of parts that I had
All right.
for that. And we'll find out within the next week or so whether or not they're going to allow that bid to proceed, but it's way below what I would expect, really.
Yeah. Well, that's frustrating, isn't it? I also noticed that another company got a bid the same day as Horizon, I think,
Yeah, that was
which
Lidco.
was
That was Lidco, Pete.
LIDCO,
Okay.
LID, yeah.
Yeah, 70% premium. So this is what I keep saying, Pete. We keep having these conversations about you, me, and everybody that's listening to the podcast. Go away and do some digging. Go away and do some research. And once you've done your research and refined it over a couple of years, be brave enough to go, you know what? I don't care what the market's doing. I don't care that no one's talking about this stock. I'm going to put my hard-earned money and have a little investment in this stock, or a big investment in this stock, because I believe in my research and I believe that what these this board or whatever has said is actually worth it. And the beauty, I've done it today, Pete. I've picked up another stock today and I believe it's 55% below what it should be, right? This stock should double if things happen. This is my belief, right?
Sounds good.
And the reason why is because I'm looking at all these institutions that are buying this stock, right, at 3-4 times above where I purchased it at today in less than a year ago, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if these guys sort out, ladies and gents who are running the company, sort out this company and get it back to where it needs to be, yes, there's a few, you know, flies around the company. Yes, I've had to pinch my nose a little bit, but the technology is there and what they're doing is there. And if they can get to the next rung, all of a sudden everyone's going to go, actually, I'll buy that stock. I could be completely wrong, Pete, because there's two other stocks I've bought back in April, May, June, July that are part of that cohort of stocks which I didn't put the ticker symbol on. And one of them's down, I think, 25% as we speak, and one of them's down 30% as I speak. But because it's an experiment, I'm like, okay, that's money that's not generating profit at the minute. But I've got HZD, as you've rightly pointed out, that's done 100%, 110% in the space of, let's start from the top the first time round, since June. Yeah, I've got DDD, which has gone up from 36 pence to 180. Today it's sitting at 113. So it's gone up fivefold at one stage. So those two losers, and not everybody picks winners, Pete, you know, yeah? And not everybody picks losers. I'm far not the best person at stock picking, but I try to believe in my own research, and that's what I'm trying to encourage other people to do, and not wait for someone else to say, this stock's up 200,000%. I think it's going to go up again another 100%. I like to buy it when it's on its knees, Pete, if possible.
It's interesting. It also cuts into that stop loss thing again, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you're taking the view with, you did it with Horizon, where, you know, it went against you for a while, but you didn't go, oh, I'm a trader, so I'm going to get stopped out on it and I'm going to move on. You thought, well, you know, it was cheap when I bought it. It's now even cheaper.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to buy more, you know, so you did completely the opposite to using a stop loss. And I think it's an interesting point. I contend that stop losses work best if you are very much an active trader and you are about having all of your money always working for you, always keeping your money investing, always moving it on. You don't want money sat there being dead. Now, that's very different to the kind of investing you're doing, where you're buying very undervalued stocks. You're researching them deeply and really understanding what you've got. And then you're buying it and you're sitting on it and waiting and being patient. And if it goes a bit against you, it's possibly an opportunity to buy more, not an opportunity to get rid of it because it's, you know, just not behaving as you wanted initially.
The other thing to add to that, Pete, and thank you for that comment. I mean, the other thing to add to that is when I see institutions which have got 10, 20, 30, 40 people in their team and millions to invest, they're going to have resources to them that I will never, ever be able to dream of, right? And they are saying, I'm buying more of this stock, right? I am investing more of this, more money into this company, right? They've done it from £5. The stock's now at £3, right? It's been as low as £2 and they're buying more at £3. I'm thinking, okay, what's their average price? Their average price is probably still nearer to £5 than it is £3. Yeah. I'm thinking, right, okay, I've done my research and my research tells me also that this is a good stock to buy. Is it the bottom? Probably not. You know, but in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, a year's time, depending on what happens with the market, if we don't go into a full-blown depression, never mind recession, then maybe I'll be onto a winner here. It will then reiterate the fact that what I keep doing regarding my research, whether it's 20 hours or 120 hours, it's still providing me with results to keep me motivated for the next time I want to spend some time researching stocks.
Well, that's a very good point. That's an interesting. I haven't really heard that mentioned before, and that's such a good point. That, you know, if you get in the habit and in the luck and all the rest of it of actually having some winners, that gives you confidence to keep going with your strategy. And I think there's a lot of sense to that. And it's something that I've actually written about it recently, but it's in an article, it's in a blog that I've written. But I haven't actually published yet because it's going out with another magazine and it should be out in due course. And it is this idea about having confidence, you know, and I think to an extent, you almost need to build up a track record of successful investments to get confidence that you can do it, if you see what I mean. And I think that new people, you know, if you've only been in the game 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you could sort of got to accept that if you don't feel necessarily all that confident at times, you will get better. You know, your experience will help you. And I think you've just got to stick with it, and you know, just try and nail down the strategies that work for you, and don't do the ones that don't work for you. You know, stick to what you're good at.
Pete, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, you and I have been there 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, scratching our heads, going, "Oh, I can't get anything right. I'm making this mistake." You know, what happened to that stock there? It's like it's down, you know, in the blink of an eye, 30, 40, 50%. We have all been there, and Pete and I are still learning. We're still making mistakes. We're still refining. You know, I keep banging on about this, but you know, there's no one on Twitter. There's no one out there that gets every single stock pick right. Not even the best gurus or fund managers out there get it right. And what they're doing all the time is refining, yeah? But if a fund manager comes out and says, "Oh, I bought this stock," everyone thinks he or she's gonna get it right. They don't, right? So you are able to do your own research and probably get the percentages of stocks right equal to them if you apply yourself over a long period of time and have the patience to deal with the winners and take it with grace, and deal with the losers and take it with grace. Yeah? So the confidence comes from when you keep seeing your research providing you with results, and when you get that knock when the results go the wrong way for whatever reasons, you still got that confidence that, you know what, I did get it right a couple of times. I'll carry on. I will carry on. Because when you quit and give up and just go on Twitter and go on social media or whatever sort of websites and blogs and chat rooms are there and just copy what someone else is doing, you will never improve. Because you haven't learned anything from the research as to why this is a good idea, or why I should invest, or why I should price position size that way, or what my stop loss should be. What profits do this company make? Where do the revenues come from? How do you know all that if all you're doing is copying because X said buy, I bought this stock? You
Yeah, I
can't build
mean,
confidence that way.
it's so true. And it brings me to another thought on this confidence thing that I'm not even sure I wrote in the article I've written, which sort of annoyed me now because I'm thinking I've missed out a key point. But I think you sort of alluded to something there. Look, I think, and in a way, this is more relevant to short-term traders, but it also applies to long-term investors. And this is the idea that as a short-term trader, you have very strict rules what you do in certain situations. So as a trader, for instance, your rule might be you buy the stock, if it goes 10% against you, you sell it and you move on. Yeah, that's a stop loss. But that's a rule. And the point is that when you have rules, you've got to follow those rules, and you've got to be disciplined, and you've got to stick to the rules. And by doing that and sticking to the rules, that helps your confidence, because you sort of know what to do in certain circumstances. And I think that really helps, you know, keep your confidence going good. But, and the same with long-term investing. It's like you have an approach, you have rules. So for instance, one rule that I have, you know, in my long-term investing is I don't let a position get too big. You know, I top slice a bit off. So when I do that, when I follow that rule, that's a good thing, and that helps build my confidence because I know that it's something that goes towards the whole process working, if you like.
Pete, I completely agree with you. And this is the beauty of finding your niche and your own strategy, which I keep saying that everyone needs to find, because we're all individual. We've all got different tolerance levels, yeah? We've all got different issues we've got regarding investing and trading, and
Yeah.
what and the reasons why we're doing it. Some people are doing it part time, some people are doing it full time, some people are just, you know, trying to maintain and preserve the capital they've got in their SIP or their ISAs or whatever. Yeah, so we've all got different motivations as to why we're doing this.
And
But
different levels of resources, you know.
to touch on the trading aspect of it, Pete, you and I have spoken about since about, I'm not sure what the first time we mentioned it, it's got to be going back to probably around May time. One of the stocks that started to push on, and we were really just scratching our heads going, "What's going on here?" And was one of the lockdown winners was AO. Remember AO World?
Oh,
Yeah?
yeah,
AO
incredible.
World. And we were talking
Yeah.
about it. I think it was 50 pence, 75 pence. And we're like, crikey, that's had a good run. And it was loss making. It couldn't get out of its own way, right? So traders were buying it at 75 pence, 80 pence, sold it at £1, right? It dropped back down to say, I don't know, 70 pence. Yeah, they start
Yeah.
trading it again. So traders would have been in and out of that stock now 20 times and maybe won 10 times, right? But I guarantee you that the investor that bought at 50 pence, watching it go to £4 per share,
has made more.
Far more money in 1 year than the trader has trading that stock all year.
And all of the trading costs and stuff.
And all of the trading costs. So you're buying it once and now you're selling it at £4. That's stamp plus trading cost times two. Done. Not 20 times two.
And so, all of those times when you didn't quite buy the bottom, you didn't quite sell the top. It all adds up.
In the space of 12 months, AO, that was written off, is up 500%. It's rarely talked about. And you know what? I suspect that it's going to be a continued winner over the lockdown. In theory, you'd think, well, everyone's bought all the white goods they could possibly buy now, given, you know, they've been doing it all summer long. So who knows? It might start rolling over. I don't know. But 500%, mate, in a stock that no one's been out there ramping that stock. So it's better to buy the stocks that no one's ramping. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Strategically, AO are doing something really interesting because they're looking to move into Europe, aren't they? Or they've already started moving into Europe. Well, it's not already up.
Growth beyond the UK, mate. Why not?
Yeah. Mate, on the takeover, sorry to go back to something.
No, go for it.
I wanted to make a general point, actually, that in recent months, there's been like a shortage of takeovers. And, you know, it's like, I always get Investors Chronicle every week, you know, the magazine. And it used to be in normal times that you'd get like a whole page of takeover stuff and there'd be all these deals listed that were going on, yeah? I always found that a bit frustrating because I wish they'd put more in there about deals that might happen. That'd be more useful. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, let's go. Of course.
I'm not
dissing Investors Chronicle. It's a very good magazine. Anyway, So it has like a page of deals that are going on. And that is actually useful because sometimes I've got some of those and they have their thoughts on what's happening. And you might pick up that there's another bidder or something. So, you know, it's useful stuff. Anyway, lately, you've been lucky to get 3 or 4 takeovers on that page. And that's been the case for quite some time now. And I've noticed that all of a sudden, you know, we've just talked about, well, there's TCM, MCS, AA, HZD, LID. Is it SDL? Is that one a takeover or is it RWS?
RWS is trying to do an all-share merger with SDL. So that's a UK one. So there's a few that I've got of late.
There's loads more, and something I wanted to bring. So just as a general point, it's interesting that even though confidence is on the floor and things are really bad, it's interesting that takeovers are picking up, which tells us that actually there are a lot of private equity buyers or whatever who are seeing value. You know, value is around. A lot of these beat up stocks, they're thinking, well, actually, that's flipping cheap.
Pete, well, there's a couple of things ahead here. You touched on the private equity, the venture capitals. You're talking about the private companies. And the UK FTSE All Share and the AIM are awash with really good quality companies that are at bargain prices. And if we weren't such a pariah because of Brexit, we'd probably have more takeover deals going ahead. And with the situation as it is now, as we're heading towards whatever sort of, you know, parachute we're going to do regarding Brexit, the coming 6 months, I think we're going to see a lot more takeovers going forward. I think this is the catalyst of people going, I'm having that.
Because a lot
of these takeovers aren't about what's going on with that company right now. It's what is the potential for this company in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years' time. This is what they do. And sometimes they'll take it private. And what do they do, Pete? They strip it, bring it back, and then float it again and give it back to somebody. But they've took out all the money that they want out of that situation. I think, you know, there's a few companies that have done that in the past. And AA was a classic of that. But I suspect, and you're absolutely spot on, Pete, there'll be more takeovers going forward in the next 6 months to a year. So if you're able to do the research and find something that's a good quality, that's not sitting there absolutely on its knees, I think you'd be on to a good thing, depending on what the market does in the next 6 months, 3 months to a year. It's about research and having the tenacity to go, I can see why this is of good value.
Well, interestingly, on that subject, MCS, right, McCarthy and Stone, is a bit of a sort of specialist niche sort of house builder because it only does retirement properties. So, so it's a bit sort of specialist. But the point is, it got a takeover bid, which sort of makes me sort of think, well, maybe there's players that think there's value in all this house building stuff. And what I noticed this week was that Crest Nicholson, CRST, had really good results. Really good. And it was like, whoa. And I think they'd gone from like a big pile of debt to a big pile of cash and things like that. And they were just really good results. And it struck me that maybe CRST itself is worth a look. I don't know. But I hold Vistry, VTY, and that one strikes me as so basically, it just looks very undervalued. And obviously, it depends on what's going on with stamp duty and the outlook for the UK and all the rest of it. But we've talked before about how, there is immense need for housing in this country. And Vistry has a partnerships business. So it's like they've got three divisions, and one of the divisions does partnerships, which is about building big blocks that are rented out and stuff. Yeah. That kind of thing is going to be in massive demand because of a growing population. And I read somewhere there's projections that, the UK economy, UK is going to have like 75 million people in it as opposed to 60 or whatever we are now. In 20 years or something, you've got to house these people. They've got to live somewhere. And I think the government is going to keep ploughing money into housing.
Pete, it's a massive generator for GDP. The government have backed it and carried on backing it, so I suspect they'll only keep on doing that. I think what'll be interesting will be what happens with mortgage rates, interest rates, sorry, and whether or not the 95% mortgages will continue. Because even depending on where you are in the country, finding that 5% deposit is still quite hefty, depending on whether you're able to buy your first home for £350,000, in and around London or outside of London, or up north where you can pick up a house for 180 grand. So that's a big difference. But the thing about the Crest thing, what absolutely surprised me was this: they smashed all metrics, Pete. The cash generation and the balance sheet, and just being able to say we're significantly ahead, and on top of that, saying we're going to reintroduce a dividend. Everything that was tick, 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 tick. Surprised a lot of people. You had the share price down at 166 at one stage, and it's now 266. So, some people have made
Wow, that's moved a lot, hasn't
a
it?
good move in the space of a couple of months. And
Yeah.
this is the beauty of having the faith in a stock. And I'm going to have to give a shout out to my very, very good friend, Diana Patterson. You can find her at Diana E. Patterson on Twitter.
Hi,
And
Diana.
she
Hi, Di.
Hi, Diana. And she's got a real knack of not giving a damn about the markets, and when she sees a bargain within the housing construction sector, she's like, "I'll have a bit of that." And she always buys with a view of buying the stock for 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and not going in and out of it. And
Yeah.
she's timed this one again almost to perfection by seeing the stock at lowly and unloved, and she's gone in there and bought it. No one's talking about Crest, right?
Excellent.
And then what do you have? You have, what is it? Yesterday came out with that trading statement. I'm not sure how much research she did in a sense of knowing that they were doing well, and with a view of the trading statement coming out. But she was like, "That's at a good price right now compared to where it was before. I'm buying some of that." She's been at this game now for 40 odd years, and she's still getting better every single week and every single year. And she's done it again.
I think it's a good general point here that I tend to find that the house builders move together as a sector, and I mean that in a share price sense, but I actually mean it in also a business sense. So what I'm saying is that if a company like Crest is doing pretty well, that implies that they've sorted out the social distancing challenges. It implies that the cost of the materials to build a house are not too bad. It implies that they can get land at reasonable prices. It implies they can get brickies. And the thing is, all those things that are good for Crest, they're going to be good for Vistry, VTY. They're going to be good for Persimmon, PSN. They're obviously good for MCS, McCarthy and Stone, because someone's just done a big takeover bid for them. So I think that sort of tells, and the other one's Inland, INL, one that I like. And it sort of tells me that, you know, the house builders definitely could be worth a look. I mean, it's not risk free, nothing's risk free. But I think it could be a good bet.
Pete, if that is a sign, an indication that, you know, a smaller entity like them are doing okay, because you've got to remember that what are they? I've just clocked it up now. A 650 million market cap company. You know, if they're doing okay, right? What about the bigger behemoths out there in the sector? You
Yeah,
know,
Persimmon.
so you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if you're absolutely spot on in the sense of there's more news to come from the sector, and a few people are in for surprises. So yeah, that's a good indicator as to potentially what's going on going forward. But people like to hear we are the, it's about the word that you used earlier, Pete, was confidence.
Yeah.
They've gone and smashed all the metrics, the expectations, and they've now got the confidence to say, and you know what, ladies and gents, we're going to start paying you a dividend again. You know, the banks have been saying, oh, we want to pay a dividend. One of the government's gone, nah, wait, 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 wait. The builders don't have to be told by the government they can pay a dividend. Crest is saying, we want to pay a dividend. We're in charge of our own destiny. We are paying a dividend. And the market loves that.
Oh, absolutely. Mate, I've got another stock if we've got time. We've been talking
Yeah, we
for
have time. Go for it.
55 minutes. This one's one that I picked up recently. Well, sorry, I don't own it, right? I haven't picked it up. But what I mean is I noticed something was going on, right? And it's a company called Big Blue Broadband, BBB. Not to be confused with Arcle's Three B's Bitter, which is the most disgusting beer you'll ever taste in your life. Don't ever have Arcles, right?
I've never heard of that beer,
I've
mate.
just
All right.
offended probably the head of the brewery listens or something. No, it's Arcles is like a Swindon. I come from Swindon originally, well, around that area, and it's like a local Swindon brewery, and it just mystifies me how they've ever kept going because it all tastes like vinegar. It's so bad, it's untrue. Anyway, right. So where were we? Right. So.
Let me interrupt you there, Pete. The reason why they're still going is because the people that live in and around Swindon are still drinking it. I've never heard of the stuff, mate.
Well, either that or they're using it on their chips, because that is literally what it tastes like. I've never had a pint of
My
Arcos
God.
that hasn't tasted off. And yet people sit there drinking it like it's perfectly fine, and you're thinking you're all mad. They do one called North Star Keg. Don't ever have North Star Keg. That is the worst thing
Dear.
ever, man. Right. So on BBB, Big Blue Broadband, it's a really funny one because Simon Thompson covers it in the Investors Chronicle. And Simon's pretty good on stuff on the whole. And he's been covering it for years. And I've always read it and thought, I just don't get this. You know, it's like loads of debt, doesn't make any money. Acquisitions like crazy, and I just thought this just seems ridiculous. What they do is they do this is really confusing. They do fixed wireless broadband. Now that sounds contradictory, don't it? Fixed wireless broadband. I think what it means is that it's wireless, as in there's no cables and no connections, but it's fixed because it's not like mobile phones where people move around. So it's like a fixed point where they emit wireless signals, and then you get your broadband from that fixed point. Yeah, if that makes sense.
Wow, yeah, just about you did it simple
Yeah.
there for me.
Anyway, obviously, broadband for rural communities that are struggling to get decent broadband because they don't have all the cables and stuff, it's a big thing. You know, and politically, it's a big thing. The government's putting a lot of money into getting fast broadband, decent broadband for rural communities. BBB plays exactly to that theme. Now, what's interesting with it is that I noticed there was loads of director buy-in in the last few weeks. Michael Tobin, who I think is the chairman, he used to be the guy who was the man at Telecity, TCY, which got taken
Right.
over, and I used to hold TCY, which is why I know of Michael Tobin. And he's also involved in Audio Boom, by the way, and he was buying shares today, I noticed, in Audio Boom.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
But yeah, so he's involved in it, and he's been buying loads of shares, and I kept thinking, why is he buying? Why is he buying? And what they've done is they had like a German operation, right? But they sold it, and selling it got them a load of cash and whatever. And what they're doing now is they've got, I think it's called Quickline, which is like a UK brand for selling their rural broadband stuff. And they've been getting grants from the government and all sorts of things. And also, they've got an Australian thing. Is it Skynet or something? An Australian broadband wireless operation thing. And that seems to be pretty good as well. So basically, it just looks really interesting. It looks pretty undervalued, actually. Having seen Simon Thompson's latest write-up on it, I think he was talking about earnings per share. It's off my head, so I might you need to check this. But off my head, I think it was earnings per share of 6.9p for 2021. And I worked that out quickly, and it was like a 4p of 12. Now, for this kind of high-tech stuff, that seems pretty damn cheap to me.
Pete, that's not one that's on my radar. It's not one I've ever looked at. And yeah, it sounds very, very interesting. I like the idea that it at the moment was still unable to supply rural communities. And if they can do that, mate, ahead of the BTs of the world and all the rest of it, despite 5G supposedly addressing that market, they could do quite handsomely.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, I can imagine they will use 5G technology.
Eventually, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And you think, like in Australia, there must be loads of remote
Oh,
people who need
absolutely.
broadband. You know, I mean, you can't sit there looking at kangaroos all day. You got some other videos to watch on your laptop or whatever. So yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's good, mate. Thanks for sharing that one. Pete,
Yeah.
before I forget, I wanted to thank one of our listeners.
Oh.
Yeah, w well, a couple of our listeners actually, because as everyone knows, Pete and I do this podcast. We just do it. We were fortunate enough to get a sponsorship deal with ShareScope, SharePad. But essentially, we do this for free. We don't charge anyone for this podcast. And a really genuinely lovely guy that we know called Steve Oldsworth. You can find him at S Oldsworth on Twitter, at S Oldsworth. And he just came out of the blue and says, "You know what, guys, really, really enjoying your podcast. If I can, if there's a charity that you guys can both name, I'm happy to make a donation just to want to say thanks." And I was just completely blown away by this. So Pete and I
Brilliant.
had a quick
Thanks, Steve. That is brilliant.
Yeah, it's absolutely immense, Steve. So big shout out for Steve. Really, really nice guy. Fantastic to make that donation. But as a consequence of that, a couple of other people said, "Oh, that's a cracking idea," and have gone on that have listened to the podcast and made a donation to this charity. So the charity that we chose is called Memphis Charity. It's spelled Memphys, and the charity at the moment are doing a Christmas list. They're trying to purchase 500 Christmas presents for young people, and they work specifically with young children and young adults that are disabled. So I just wanted to thank Steve,
Cool.
Battlebus, and also Scrumpy Triple Two on Twitter, who have
Oh,
supported
that's
that
Scrumps.
charity.
We know Scrumps. Yeah, thanks, Scrumps, and
Yeah,
thanks,
those are the only
Battlebus.
two that
Brilliant.
I know for definite that have done it. I know some others have done it as well. I just wanted to thank all of you that have done that, and really, really appreciate the kindness, because Pete and I are all about mindfulness and kindness and paying it forward. So that's really, really kind of you guys. And you know, just imagine those children opening a present that they didn't expect at Christmas. So you know, and they're going in lockdown again. You know, so they won't be in the normal surroundings that they're meant to be in, I don't suspect. So really, really nice. So thank you ever so much,
Fantastic.
Steve, Battlebus, and Scrumpy Triple Two.
Well, the other thing we must mention is if you're enjoying the podcast and all the rest of it, I doubt you are. I mean, goodness, why would you be? If you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you use, it's free to do, then it will remind you when new ones come out and stuff, and it keeps them all in one place for you. If you want to see the archive of back material of podcasts that we've done, because a lot of the older podcasts are well worth listening to, because we include a lot of stock ideas and stuff, but we also have a hell of a lot of the more sort of general educational how we do things kind of waffle in there. And if you go on my website on the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast page, there are all of the podcasts there as the sort of special widget things, and you can just click them and they'll play from the website, which is nice and easy for you.
Brilliant. Now, I want to thank everyone for their feedback. We've had some fantastic feedback over the past 2 weeks since the last podcast.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say, you know what? I think we must be doing something right, because Pete and I come on here and we talk about...
It must be you, mate, it ain't me.
No, yeah. It's a team effort. I mean, the great thing about it is that we find things of interest, and Pete always finds these obscure stocks. And the brilliant thing about it is that you ladies and gents also haven't heard about these obscure stocks. And it means that you're able to go away and do some research. You know, he's touched on BBB today, which I haven't Scooby-Doo about. And it means that you guys and ladies can go away, research. And if you think it's of interest and you research them some more, at some point or other, you might decide to make an investment in that. It's not going to benefit me or Pete. That's not what it's about. It's about generating ideas and enabling you guys and ladies to learn more and able to get to a position where you can fish for yourself. It's the whole point. You know, if you can fish forever, you'll always be able to eat. That's part of the analogy. I can't think of the proper
words now.
Give
a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach a man a fish, he eats for...
That's the one I'm looking for, Pete. That's the one I'm looking for.
Spot on.
So that's what it's all about, folks. So I wanted to just thank you all again for your continued support. Thank you all for your feedback. You know, Pete, why, with regards to Share Scope, Share Pad, do you want to give your little spiel?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
you use it far more than I do. You're far more skilled at using it than I am.
Yeah, I mean, SharePad, ShareScope, both great tools. If you fancy using it yourself, there's an offer on both our websites. You can find like a little thing that you click, and you can sign up, and you get a month free, which is cool. And we get a drink out of it, which that's quite nice as well. So, yeah, thank you.
All right. I mean, that's probably the last thing I'm going to say with everyone. Is that wherever you are in the world, right, there's talking about this COVID situation rising, do as best you can to keep yourself safe, wear a mask, wash your hands, don't go and see people you're not meant to be going to see, yeah? And hopefully we get through this quicker rather than later. And above all, just look out for your neighbours and your friends and the people that you can, because there's some people going through, we're heading now and we're starting SAD, seasonal issues for people who it's dark, not getting outside. So please just look out for people as best as you possibly can.
Absolutely. Okay, better call it a day there, mate.
Okie dokie. Take care, people. God bless. And hopefully by the time we come back, we might even know who's the president of the US.
More chance of knowing the president of Swaziland, mate.
Okie dokie, everyone. Take care. Later. God bless. Stay safe. Bye for now. Over and out.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast was brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.